Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. A nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello and welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm Jeff Catano.
And I'm JJ Chinowski.
And tonight we have a special guest that gets a do-over. And Austin, I want to apologize, man. Seriously, Austin, you know, so Austin came on and crushed his podcast.
Yes.
And we chose to fail ourselves yep. in the recording. And I told Jeff that I couldn't. Yeah, well, I mean, Jeff didn't show up to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I couldn't decide if I was more upset at him for not showing up or for our inability to somehow record the stupid podcast.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, nothing but love. But welcome back, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have to believe there's a reason why we're doing it again. I don't know. I mean, even though some things have already changed in your life, but there's got to be a reason why we did it again.
Yeah, of course. And I'm glad to come.
And it's got
to
be more than the strawberry watermelon prime.
Yes. Yeah.
So where do you want to start?
Wherever you guys want to start.
Let's walk back through childhood, because
yes.
you've got a lot to talk about. That's what I loved about doing your podcast last time. I was so excited about it, because I don't think that there's anyone that's been on this podcast that was less afraid or leaned more into just being transparent, honest, and open about all of your fun roller coaster ride of your life.
Yeah. All right. We can start from the beginning. I mean, just like most kids in Utah, at least, grew up in a nice family, good parents, fun siblings, nothing crazy. I guess me and my friends were a little crazy. We were always doing the flips and the crazy parkour stuff, giving my mom a heart attack, doing backflips off the roof, you know.
Oh, gosh.
That's what he was doing when he went to class,
How many siblings?
I got two older brothers and two younger brothers. One full blood brother, his name's Jordan. He's 29. And then, two half brothers, Isaac, who is 22, Jace, who's 17. And then my oldest brother, he's my stepbrother. He's, I want to say 32.
Big family.
Yeah. You're right in the middle though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes me the funnest, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. The one that can just roll through life, man. Cause it's like the first ones get the brunt of all everything that goes on. By the time they get to you, they kind of are like throwing their hands in the air. And then the younger ones, it's like they're back to being a little bit, you know, everything's easy. They kind of just leave you to do you.
Yeah.
That's right. The middle one.
I feel like the middle takes the punches, but then gets to give the punches.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the learning experience from both sides. You get it and then you dish it. So it's kind of a win-win.
Oh man.
No. Yeah. So I had a really great siblings, family, everybody was always there. So, I mean, I didn't grow up in a hard life whatsoever. And then, my older brother, Jordan, he's my closest brother, who I've been through everything with since my day one. And, he's grew up a little bit in a tougher childhood, not in the sense of family, but just by the way he looks, he got a little bit more of like the racism picked on and, you know, that kind of thing. He was always bullied growing up.
Well, share with the listeners, the demographic at least, or the, you know, of your family.
The demographics, Hispanic and white. And my brother looks more Hispanic.
Yep. And I want to talk about it for a minute, unpack it for a minute.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been working with Peyton on history, and we're talking through history, and we're talking about how, yes, so many of these things have been overcome, but yet there's still a lot of focus on it, and there's still a lot of unconscious, subconscious bias and belief systems that still show up, and I want to unpack it for a minute. Mm-hmm. So he had a little bit tougher time than you did.
Yeah. Just based on the way he looks. And just even in elementary, he was always getting picked on and beat up and jumped in recess, like crazy stuff.
Wow.
And so that played a big toll on his mental. So he started partaking in drug use at a really early age.
How old do you think?
Sixth grade was the first time he tried marijuana. And then don't know his consistency from there. But obviously, as he got older, experimenting more and more, and I was always just like, no, I don't ever want to do that. That's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I think it's just cause I looked up to my brother-in-law and I still do. I just have boundaries now, but growing up, I was like, I want to be like him. Like he used to wear
the skinny jeans. Role model.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything he did, I wanted to do it like him, but better.
Great about having a solid role model in your life is you got like somebody, especially an older brother, you know, somebody to look up to. It's like, oh yeah, I'd be just like him, but better.
I love that.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple times at recess, one of his buddies, he was actually friends with this kid. He had him in a headlock and I knew my brother was getting bullied. And I think I was in like kindergarten or something. So I was out early. And I walked out to his recess to go say hi to him. And I see his buddy has him in a headlock. And I just come sprinting over the mountain, the snow mountain, just deck his friend. And my brother's like, dude, he was just playing with me.
Oh, just messing God. Around. And you're like, man, I got you, bro.
Oops. Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. My bad. No, I always had his back no matter what. And then so I always wanted to be like him. He would wear the skinny jeans. I thought they were stupid. And then I was like, well, maybe I should start wearing the skinny jeans.
Yeah.
So I started wearing the skinny jeans. And then he was always getting caught for smoking weed. And I was just like, that's so stupid. And one day, just randomly one day, it was my ninth grade year. I was like, I wonder what it's like, you know? And so I started partaking in it. And so it was like, that's something we used to fight a lot. And that's something that kind of bonded us together really, really close. Never fought after that. I think we've been in one single fight since we started smoking weed together at that age. And our most recent fight was a fist fight like 6 months ago, which was not good, but we hugged and made up.
Yeah.
This is all good.
Bonding moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brother bonding moment.
Yeah. It was good.
Obviously that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I took my, I was always, you know, better at the things that I did. I was always better in school. Not with my brother, just like in general.
You were good in school.
I was good in performer, school, sports.
But very athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to be better. And for some reason, you don't see it when you want to try these new experiences, but smoking weed will pull you back, hold you back. And you don't even realize it. I didn't realize it until I'm still sober from weed. I'm almost 2 years. I think October will be two
Congrats.
Years.
Yeah. And we're going to unpack that because that's been a roller coaster.
Yeah. It still can be hard from time to time. And this year, by the way, before I get back on track is I'm going 1 year, absolutely no alcohol at all. So we're on month three right now.
Yeah. Nice.
Good job.
And
things are starting to clear now that, we're going to dive into that. I'm going to make a note because we're going to dive into that here towards the end.
Okay.
But You were outgoing, you were driven, you know, very athletic, did well in school, likable, you know, it was easier for you to make friends, get along with people.
Yep.
But in ninth grade, you made the choice to start smoking weed
and then going into high school, progressing to other things of experience.
Experimentation.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, a lot for that kind of age, you know, your brain's nowhere near developed. You shouldn't be drinking lots and lots. You shouldn't be doing these drugs, but you know, at the time I wanted the experience, but my life started slowly declining and life started getting harder and harder and harder. And you think, oh yeah, let's just stop doing substances and it'll make your life easier. But at that time that's what's fun.
Yeah.
You know, you experience the highs and you're like, that's what's fun. You know, it's kind of depressing to go sober for a little bit, especially when your brain is still developing. And so, I still excelled. I didn't just give up on school and sports and all that, but I could have been a lot further in my life and a lot higher level of athletics if I would have saw that earlier.
Yeah.
But I mean, I went through high school, graduated with a 3.6, got a academic scholarship, went to colleges.
But we
got to
back up and talk about teen leadership.
Yeah.
Because in there, in that where he just fast forwarded was TLB.
That is true. Yeah. I think that was that my senior year?
Yeah. It was a very much so a defining moment too. Yeah. You took like extreme ownership and I've never seen anybody do what you did or heard of anybody doing what you did. So let's unpack it for a moment.
That's right.
What did you learn? What did you experience? And then what did you do?
So when my dad and my stepmom, she passed away about 4 years ago. We can talk about that a little bit later, but they called me. I was at my girlfriend's soccer game at that time. And they called me, they're like, hey, you want to go to a ninja camp? A ninja camp. What? Like obstacle course and everything. My dad's like, yeah, that's a ninja camp. I'm like, I tell my girlfriend, she's like, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
That sounds right up your alley. Yeah. I mean, yeah. he was like a ninja though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It fit.
I was super excited. So I was like, yeah, let's go. And I go, and it's obviously not a ninja camp, but it's, I find out it's a leadership camp. You don't get your phone. They go through your stuff. So you don't get, I was vaping at the time. So you didn't get your vape. So I had a good 48, 72 hour period, no vaping. And so that was a little tough, but, it was nothing like that. But the things that it taught me were, it was insane. I was talking to my mom that I was coming to this podcast. I didn't tell her last time because I was like, oh, I'll just show her the podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was just going to show her and surprise her and just be like, yeah, look what I ended up doing. And so she's like, you did a podcast with those guys already? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't tell you. Oops. She's like, yeah, the huge changes I saw before and after that changed your life. And I was like, at the time, I thought it was a bunch of bull crap, but
yeah,
now I realize that the things that it taught me plays a lot in life just altogether, but you don't realize it as it's happening at that age when you just want to party.
I remember your energy. That's like the biggest thing I remember was your energy, that class, you know, graduation, like you took a stand for yourself. Do you remember, like, let's unpack what you took a stand for yourself for in that class. Cause you were very determined to not do what anymore.
I was very determined to be sober. No more drugs, no more partying. Nice.
And that's not something that's told to you.
No,
that's something you decided for yourself while you were there. That isn't something that like is talked about. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's something you decided that wasn't serving you and you were going to eliminate it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even like after that, for the longest time, I wanted to, there was something in my head that was like, just stop. Like, it's not helping your life at all. It's not benefiting you. Maybe it might benefit someone with a chronic disease, but I'm not that person. It just slows me down. There's something in there. And speaking of that, you guys didn't even preach that or tell me
to do that.
It just happened.
Cause you already knew better.
Yeah.
You already knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were just stuck in this, you know, belief system, if you will, of justification of why everything was okay. And then until you decided it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just the drugs. It was the relationships.
Yeah.
You took a stand on all those things. Like, you made a conscious choice. You were going to do a little bit of a left turn when everybody was going right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Or you were going right when everybody else was going left.
Yes.
Yeah. So after that camp, I told my girlfriend I was no longer going to date her. Cause me and her did all the experiences together, which was fun, but it's holding me back. It's slowing me down. So I broke up with her. I told all my friends, I just can't hang out with you guys anymore.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
This is my senior year. I had
senior year of high school.
And how did that go over?
They were all hurt. They weren't happy, and it hurt me that I hurt them, but it's like, this isn't about you guys. And I told them that this isn't about you. This is about me trying to better my life. And they didn't understand that at the time.
Do you ever see any of them now? And do they have a different story now?
Yeah. They all still do that same thing.
Yeah.
Some of them do. Some of them have grown out of it. You know, it's the mixture of the group, this whole group of, let's just say 50 kids, they all separated, you know, just like it happens when you grow up, but drugs separated them. People got in fights. People got killed just all over drugs. And this isn't just marijuana. This is what they progressed to, like the hardcore stuff I never got into because I removed myself from the situations.
Smart.
But you think about getting done with class. And by the way, she was at graduation.
She was at graduation. That was an awkward.
So she's at graduation, you know, cheering him on, so happy for him. And he walks out of graduation. You walk out of graduation and you go, I'm done. This isn't going
to
work.
I didn't talk to her. Like, I gave her a little hug. Thanks for coming. Sat in the car. I was crying. I was emotional, really emotional from the whole weekend. And when we got home, that's when I kind of broke the news. It's just, I can't do this. This is holding me back from being better in my personal life.
Yeah.
And, I went through all that with her, all my friends, and everybody's hurt. And probably about a month and a half later, I tried to go back, you know, like not necessarily go straight to smoking weed, but you know what they say, you become who you surround yourself with. So
amen.
I started hanging out with him. I wasn't doing it, But what brought me back to it was hanging out with the people. And some of them didn't even forgive me. Some of them were just like, I'm good. You're just going to leave us again, which was true. I'm only friends with probably like three people out of that group. And those people have made serious life changes too.
Yeah.
People who want to grow are the people who I've tended to want to be around within that group. And I don't even hang out with those people on a daily basis either.
Yeah. I mean, you made it a tough choice.
Yeah.
And I know that there was like those who were proud of you. And then there was a whole bunch of people that were hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. But you were proud of yourself for a moment.
Yeah.
But that wore off. That wore off, and the longing for those relationships was knocking on the door. And so that's where you found yourself like, you know, I think I'm good. Like I can at least hang out with them now. Right. Yeah. That's how it started.
And a lot of people who start these good habits, life changes, the reason they go back is because they forgot why they started. Mm. And I forgot why I started. It was always there in the subconscious, but I forgot why I started. So it brought me back to it. And so when I still went for college, I left all those friends, eventually went to college, went my own way. But when I went to college, I went 2 weeks sober and went right back.
Yeah, but where did you go to college?
I went to Utah State University.
Yeah. 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 But why did you pick Utah State?
Well, this is the junior college in Price.
Okay.
So it's because they had a soccer program. I procrastinated my soccer journey. I didn't look for colleges. I had the skill, didn't do the work to get into a good college. Yeah. I had the grades, you know, I had everything. I just didn't try. And so I took the first college that took me in, which was them. And it was a very poor program.
But you thought to yourself, I'll get out of town.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out here to college. Everything will, I'm doing me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play soccer. I'm going to go to school. It'll be great.
Yep.
And what happened?
And just that happened. I mean, I got to go to school. I got to meet a whole bunch of new people from all around the world. I got to play soccer. The soccer was very poor, but you get, beggars can't be choosers. You know, when you're begging to go to college, when you didn't do the research yet, you're probably not going to go to the best program.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had a great experience. It was awesome. But I went, when I moved to that college, I was like, sober, no more.
Yep.
2 weeks in, met friends, and the type of energy I was portraying was the same party lifestyle. I had to be the best at partying. I had to be the best at smoking weed, drinking, soccer, you know, best at the things that I wanted to be best at that time. And so during those 2 years, I was a party mess. I lost my academic scholarship. I barely graduated with my associates with a 3.0. Still not terrible, but not my potential. Yeah. My potential is a lot higher than that. And once again, my 2 years were up there. You can only play 2 years at a junior college. Didn't do research, didn't try to go to another college. But luckily my coach, after I got caught smoking, he kicked me off the team.
Yep.
Lucky for me, he gave me a chance and allowed me to go to a scouting camp. And William Penn, the school I went to, the head coach happened to be there and he saw me play and he's like, yeah, come play. And I knew they never had a successful program in their life. And I was like, yeah, why not? It gets me out of the state. I get
to I've been here. I get to hit another reset button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So it's again, you're focusing on a reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was William Penn back east?
It's in Iowa. So Iowa. It's like an hour north from Des Moines, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's exactly what I was thinking. Reset. Let's get out of Utah. Let's get away from my friends. My mom wanted me out of here to get away from all my friends because in my junior college, I was still driving home to hang out with, you know, all my hippie friends.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I got out. Again, went 2 weeks without any substances. Was like going sober. Once again, met the crowd of people, and a lot of people party and smoke weed and drink. A lot of people, no matter where you go, it's going to be harder to find people who don't do that than people who do.
Yeah.
But it's picking out the people you want to surround yourself with, but you don't know that at such a young age. I didn't know who
and
I
was. How old are you now?
27 now.
No, I mean, and when you move to go.
When I moved, I was 20.
Yeah.
And okay. Then I graduated with my bachelor's at 22, 23, mm-hmm. Because of COVID.
So that time though at school, again, 2 weeks of I'm going to make it happen, and you meet the people and right back into the.
Yep. Yeah. Cause my roommates, so I lived in the cheap dorms. So I had three roommates in one singular room about this size. So there's a bed in that corner, that corner, that corner. And they smoked weed. They'd always invite me. And I said, no, I'm good. I'll stay. And then eventually
I'm here to play soccer. Yeah. I'm here to play soccer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to get my degree. I'm going to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. And
well, it goes back to what you were talking about. The people you hang out with is who you are, not who you're becoming. Mm-hmm. So be selfish.
Right. Yeah. And bringing back to the, don't say try, I'll try not to smoke weed. It's I'm not going to smoke weed. Yeah.
That, big difference. So that's why we hate that word on this podcast.
Yeah.
Hate yeah. it. Yeah. T-R-Y does not exist here.
That did stick to me from our last podcast. Yeah. I've worked really hard on not saying that.
We're going to take it out. Give you electrocution.
Yeah.
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 Right. So yeah, with my year sober, that's what I'm saying. I am going 1 year sober. I'm not doing no try. I'm doing it. There's
big
no
difference.
If ands or buts, I'm doing it. So that really did stick to me after the last podcast.
But let's talk about let's really dive into college, because that's really where there was a lot of transitioning that was happening there, though.
Yeah,
you know, you leave, you move away from home at 20 years old. You're no longer connected to the base of friends. Like, yeah, you can still talk to them, but you're not here. Mm-hmm. You're not with mom and dad. You're a whole nother area, yep. Different, almost culture, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it like?
So when I moved there, I was sober. I was alone. You don't know anybody. And to top it off, I didn't have the possibility to start because of my ineligibility from getting caught from smoking weed from my last college. It made me ineligible. I had to pay some fines or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I had to do something in order to become eligible. So when my head coach at William Penn saw that, he's like, sorry, you have no chance. So the keeper that started before me, he was actually phenomenal. He's from Brazil. He was a great guy. Just overall, he's actually better than me. And he's obsessed with the sport. But that was really hard. I was depressed. I was out there for soccer. I was out there to, you know, change my life. And nothing seemed to be working out at all. It was hard. I told my mom I'm coming home. She's like, just stick it out. Just stick it out and trust me, it's going to work out for you. And so, I mean, I didn't stick out the staying sober. I was partying, drinking. I was doing my college thing, going to class though. I was going to class. Mm-hmm. So I did stick to that, but the other half, not so strong, but I was continuing to go to practice, doing all those things that you need to do to stay on the team. And halfway through the season, we were playing our rivals. And the starting goalkeeper got knocked out at the halftime. It was super close game. Crowd was packed. He got knocked out really, really bad, super bad concussion. And I'm sitting on the sideline, bad attitude. I'm drinking a Sprite, eating bratwurst, some Starburst, you know. And they started warming up the third string goalkeeper. And I'm just like, yeah, of course, you know, like, of course, it's not me. And the head coach is like, Austin, you go in the goal. I'm like, oh, I'm not even warm. This is really happening right now. And I go in, they score two goals on me. So we're down by one. We score in the last 5 seconds, win in overtime. And then I started for the rest of the season because we just had consistent wins from then on out for the rest of the season. So even though that other goalkeeper was better than me,
you got an opportunity.
I got that opportunity and I seized it and I kept that opportunity.
He's got a Steen Starburst. Wow.
I ate a full bratwurst. They had a whole cooking stand on the side. I went and grabbed one on my way in, grabbed a Sprite, and I was like, I don't know how. I played good, but I was just like, how did coach not see me eating a bratwurst?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that kid in.
So, but that was a defining moment and a shift, but it just started with the opportunity.
Yep. It was the opportunity for sure. And it was just, With the substance use, it was just that wave of up and down of like, I'm doing good. Oh, we're going back down, you know, but.
Was it an emotional roller coaster? Was it a physical at all roller coaster? Were you able to kind of maintain the physical side?
Yeah. Physically, like my strength and all that was good, but you feel tired.
Yeah.
You feel unmotivated, emotional for sure.
Yeah. The emotional part. Yeah,
cause that's what weed does. Marijuana suppresses your emotions. When you're mad, you smoke weed. When you're stressed, you smoked weed. When anything, you know, when you're happy, you smoke weed. It's just, it all suppresses you to be this like content level. Like it makes you feel like you achieved something without achieving something. And I watched that on a video yesterday and I was like, that is so true. Like you could do absolutely nothing, smoke weed, and then feel like you achieved something. In reality, you're just flatlining.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Not living.
Yeah, I've never even, yeah, that's interesting you say that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. So you hang in there though.
Yeah.
That's the important part.
Yes.
Yep.
What was next?
So I started dating a girl in college, and she helped me slow down a little bit, but the difference between her and my girlfriend now is she was forcing me to stop.
Yeah.
She was like, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. One positive is she got me to quit vaping. So I don't do that no more. But with the weed thing, I did good for a little bit. And then I was just like, you know what? You're telling me to do something makes me not want to do it. So I started doing it, even though I knew it was like,
yeah,
you shouldn't do that. But it's like, screw you. Don't tell me what to do. You're not my mom.
Yeah. It's amazing how with all of the everything else you had going on and a strong reason not to do it because, well, you're not supposed to be doing it.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
So all those things and yet you still did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got some serious backlash from that girl in specific, and I ended up moving to Colorado with her for 2 summers, and I was living with her and her family, and I couldn't even have friends with her. So I was like,
oh, yeah, wow.
I'm going to smoke weed. Like, she had all guy friends. So I decided I'm going to make friends with your guy friends. Most guys will feel threatened. I'm like, no, I just want friends.
Yeah.
That's all I care about is just friends. And her friends didn't even smoke weed. I just wanted friends. So I made friends with her friends. Couldn't go hang out with her friends. I had to be home every single day. So I was like, I'll go to the dispo, you know, I'll go buy some carts or whatever I need to get this time to go by. So I was more at that point numbing myself.
Yeah.
And whatever trauma I picked up within that relationship wasn't the worst in the world, but it's still trauma's trauma, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got through that, and she's younger than me. So she had to go back to school, and she's like, come back. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going home. I'm graduating. I'm going home. And
did you celebrate graduating though?
Yeah. Yeah. My parents came out there, out to Iowa, and we had a good time. And I mean, that's pretty much all the celebrating I did.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. I mean, I did what I said I was going to do with school. I went, I graduated. I played soccer all 4 years and started all 4 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
On my third year, I had to work a little bit harder than normal, but I mean, the point is I got the opportunity and I seized it.
Let's talk about why you had to work harder.
Because I thought it was going to be given to me. Like my,
you just started 2 years. So why wouldn't it be given to you the third year?
Exactly. I've been given it my whole life. I never had to work for my starting position because I had the athletic ability, but when it comes to high level, you need the athletic ability and the obsession in order to go to the next level and keep growing. You have to have the obsession. I wasn't obsessed, but when I didn't have that starting spot, I became obsessed with getting that starting spot.
Wow.
Or whatever it took. And that doesn't mean screwing the next guy over.
No. You were making the choice.
Yeah. Right. So I started going to the gym, started working out really hard, going to practice, training, doing the best in all the fitness tests, whatever it took to keep that starting spot. And then, actually in my fourth year, it was me versus that other starting keeper, and he got the spot over me. I actually hurt my shoulder from lifting, and then I dove on it and I sprained I think it's my right AC joint. And so he automatically got the spot. It was just like, I'm injured. You know, of course he's going to get the spot. And literally a week later, he tore his meniscus or something in practice. Wow. And so we had a third string goalkeeper who is just on the team for the scholarship. He did not want to play. Like he was like, I don't want to play, but that's who all we had. So he played 2 preseason games and my shoulder was still hurting. They just put me in and I kept the spot the whole season.
Yeah.
Wow.
But when you left school, I mean, obviously you were smoking weed when you left school.
Yeah.
And you weren't in a great relationship, but to you at the time, that relationship was okay.
Yeah. I thought it was,
cause you're sharing it now after you ran it through the filter of looking backwards, like your Monday morning quarterback.
PTSD.
But at that time, it was like really happy with your relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. You think how you're being treated is how you're supposed to be treated.
Who did?
I thought the way I was being treated was the way you're supposed to be treated in a good, healthy relationship. Cause this one is still better, a little bit more mature than my high school relationship. Cause we're older, but I still wasn't treated like an adult. I was treated like a kid, couldn't do anything. Had to have my phone tracker on at all times, talk to her every 30 minutes, you know, it's just like stuff like that.
Mm. Wow.
Constant getting in trouble, and it's just like, okay, what can I do around here that won't get me in trouble?
But you decided to move. So you graduated, and that's when you decided to move to Colorado with her.
Yep. So we did that last summer after I graduated. I did one more summer with her, and she's like, come back to school with me. I'm like, I'm going home.
I can't. She sounded like she had big time trust issues.
Yeah. She did.
Yeah.
She's an only child too. Yeah. So she was center of attention 24/7 with all her parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense. And she's not a bad person.
No.
Just, you know,
right.
Has
no personal it's just, it's just a time in life. I mean, I'm sure she learned a lot from it too.
Yeah.
So you were just there like a few months for the summer?
Yep. For the summer, I'd worked HVAC with her stepdad. That was a great trade. I wish I would have stuck with that.
Yeah.
But then I moved home. I told her mom, I was like, I'm going to break up with her. I can't do this no more. And she knew.
Yeah.
She could just tell. I'm just like drinking heavy at their house. I had one night. This is a little embarrassing story. So I've had two instances where I got blackout drunk because, you know, you lash out a little bit more when you're blackout drunk. One time I was at a party. I didn't realize I was going through stuff, but I got blackout drunk with all my buddies. And I guess at like 3 a.m, I woke up and peed on her feet while she was sleeping.
Oh my God.
I got a big old slap for that. And she made me sleep on the floor. And I woke up and I was like, that's fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got what you deserved.
Yeah. I'm not mad at you for that. You should still be mad at me. You know, I deserve the smack.
When you made the choice on the relationship to that was done and you moved home, where were you at mentally then? Like, you've graduated, that's done. Like, let's check the box. You've kept your agreement, if you will, right? Commitment to your parents. Mm-hmm. And then it's the relationship thing, which even if you know you want out or it's better out, it's still hard.
Yeah.
And then you're still in that state of mind of what's next, right? Because you're supposed to know what's next for you. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to know exactly what you're doing with your life. What are you doing, Austin? You know?
Yeah.
So where were you at mentally?
Well, those last 2 years of college, I felt like the only reason I graduated is because she did help push me. So I will give her that she did help me get through school, but I felt like she took away my last 2 years of real good college party fun, right? I thought so. So I had no clue what I was going to do when I left Colorado that summer. But I did really enjoy working out, and I started teaching kids how to work out on my soccer team. So I was like, maybe I'll try personal training, which is what led me to.
You didn't try, you were doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do personal training.
Maybe I did do it. So that time I thought try, but now it's, I did do it.
Do.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not going to let him off.
No, I'm catching everyone.
JJ's writing down every time you say it's a dollar. And so
it's $100.
I hope you brought your wallet.
That's right.
I got negative dollars. That's all. That's all I got for you. So I went down the personal training route and just partied really, really hard for about a year and a half.
But meanwhile, you're working on being a personal trainer and personal training.
Honestly, I was, but at the same time, I wasn't.
You weren't.
I wasn't doing enough.
Yeah. You know?
Like at the time, I was like, I'm doing enough to get by. But
that's what you were telling everybody you were doing
enough. Mm-hmm.
That was what you were putting out there.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, that's not what you were doing.
Yeah. At the time, I thought so, and I was teaching people good things.
Yeah.
And I had the right intentions, but I was in the right place. I was just work. And as soon as the weekend comes, party, you know, I was trying to catch back up on those 2 years.
You were catching back up. You were catching back up.
Yep. Catching back up.
I was catching back up on those last 2 years of college.
Yeah.
But let's see where we go after that. So after I got that out of my system, this was before I met my girlfriend. Now I started slowing down. I was like, okay, you're 24, 25 years old. I'm still in my stepdad's basement. I don't have a savings. I don't have much going on for me. I should probably figure that out now. Cause all my friends, they had their jobs that pay decent, you know, get them by 60K plus a year. They all have their own places, and all that. So I was like, I need to,
they're doing it and you're not.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So then what?
So I took a step back from them. I did 75 hard and went sober for 75 days, weed and alcohol. And then that's what helped me kind of get back onto the track where I'm on now. And so instead of going straight back into it hard, it was like, I'll smoke weed here and then I'll take a break. And I was doing that consistently. And I was about for my very first MMA fight in August of 23, mm-hmm. August of 23. I had really long hair. I was still smoking weed, but not as consistent. I met this girl at the Spartan race, and that girl was my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And
at that moment,
she was just some random person I thought was cool, funny, cute. And I don't know why she liked me. I was a pot smoking hippie with my hair down, down to my chest. And she's never experienced any of that. Like, she just doesn't care. She doesn't want that part in her life. Anyways, didn't really make anything out of that one conversation we had at Spartan Race in July. But then my dad's dating her mom. That's how I met her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We won't go in names, but my dad's dating her mom. That's how I met her at the Spartan Race. And then a month, I'm still training for my fight in August. And my dad's like, hey, Amy wants to come to your fight, but she can't afford it. Little did I know she could afford it. But I was like, give her all my money. Make her come.
Yeah, yeah.
Please come. Wow. I want her to come.
Yeah, yeah.
So I paid for her table tickets, which aren't cheap. I paid for her and her friend's table tickets so they'd show up. And they did. And I met her after my fight at the table, and we never stopped hanging out. And then first question I asked her is, do you smoke weed? No, does not. And we're dating, and you know, it's weird. Most relationships at the very start are super easy.
Yeah.
Ours was extremely, extremely hard. It was like the total opposite. Of anything I've ever experienced. It was very hard because she's not telling me I have to quit smoking weed. I can just tell she's distancing herself further and further and further. And so in that time between Spartan Race, from my fight, I went to Park City in September. I didn't smoke weed at all. Not one single time. And she didn't tell me not to. And I did one more time when I went to Park City with my buddies for one of my buddies' birthday. And I smoked once, and she was going to end it with me. I could just tell. She didn't say nothing, but I could just tell. And I was like, if I want to keep this person, I have to make these changes. Yeah. And I already want to. Like, I already want to make these changes. So
because you keep doing it over and over again. You keep saying, I'm walking away, I'm done. And then it's like, I'm right back over here again.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I made the life change, and I was like, I'm going to do it. And so I just never touched it again.
Isn't after that
trip.
That you know, coming off of what you were saying before of, you are who you're surrounded by.
Yes.
And in comes your girlfriend introduced.
And doesn't tell you what to do.
But the other interesting thing, Jeff, I mean, as you listen, one thing that caught, if the audience heard this, he did 75 hard. And anybody that did 75 hard, it's called discipline.
Yeah.
And when you discover that power, it's life changing.
It is.
You can do so many. It's not just,
it has nothing to do with the workout.
It's total mindset. You could do that to your body, your money, your attitude,
all of it.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you were talking about, being obsessed of being your best.
Yeah.
And when you're in that mindset, watch out.
Yeah. 100%. I watched this video the other day. It was saying, your words will literally dictate on how you think. So if you think try, you're never going to get it done. But when you think I will be successful, you're going to be successful. It's because that's what you're speaking out into the world. So then your brain starts catching onto those frequencies. Like, it just naturally starts thinking.
It's called RAS.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. A reticular activating system.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think about obviously she cared for you at the time, or it wouldn't have bothered her.
Yeah.
But she had already decided for herself, which is why there was distance. But I look at it the same way. When you weren't getting that starting position, or you were having to work for that starting position, it was like, that's what turned it on. So she didn't have to tell you what to do or what not to do. The only person that could make that choice was you.
Yeah.
The coaches were telling you the same thing from your first year when you got to school.
Mm-hmm.
About starting, right?
Yeah.
But the one that decided was you eventually, right?
Yep.
So it's the same thing with those habits. It's like replacing the hardest part, and which is really why I wrote down the drinking and stuff, is when I think about that, the hardest part is not making the decision. The hardest part is right now at this moment, at this time. Like, that's the hardest part. It's always going to be now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you've done up until now doesn't matter. It's like, it's great to talk about it. You know, right now you're 2 years, no pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a high five. It's something to be proud of, but you're only as good as where you're at today. Mm-hmm. And it just stays that way. And it's hard to think about and go, well, does that mean I can't ever do that? You know, like, ever? That's the hard part. It's like removing it from even being a thing, because it's like, if you do it again, mm-hmm. then what? I don't know.
That's why
you're right back where you started. Right.
And it's so most people go, well, yeah, you know, I've done so I'm good. I can do it. I'm good. And then what happens?
Then you reset your brain and you start from square one and it's all over.
Yeah. It's just like how many times you start all over, but you have a strong, you know, reason and purpose that you decided for yourself of why that was no longer.
But it's got to start with, you've got to do that.
Yep.
You've got to say, I'm done. Alcoholics Anonymous, one day at a time.
Yep.
And sometimes it's one, to Brett's point, one moment at a time. All you got to do is get past this next minute.
Right. Like if you know that situation's not for you, you're out.
Yeah.
Nothing against anyone else.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah.
If you're really going to not drink for a year, I mean, you just got to know that it takes a long time to rewire your brain when you're used to doing something.
Yeah.
Even 2 years of making the choice to move away, you trade one vice for another one. It's like, okay, I don't do that anymore, but I'm doing this.
Right.
And now that you're removing those vices, what do you fill it with? So for instance, it's only been 60 days, 70 days. You're probably counting them. No alcohol.
3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been three months.
Oh, you started before the end of the year?
Yeah. I started on January 1st. I woke up and it's like, no more.
Yeah. So we're barely over, we're 70 days almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So 70 days in, it's like you still have those moments right now when you go, I don't know what to do. Like find yourself in a moment where it's like, I don't know what to do. Cause normally what would you be doing?
Drinking on the weekend.
Yep. And so you get to the weekend and you're not drinking. So what do you do? I want to hear, because this is something that, you know, is a challenge. I mean, people not drinking is gaining momentum. Because, you know, it's simply not good for you. Mm-hmm. There's no argument about it. People will argue about it, but there is not an argument about it. But ultimately, it's like rewiring your brain to understand that I can still have fun. I can still do all these things that I used to do. Like people go, I just don't know what to do if I'm not drinking, Brett. And I go,
yeah,
you do the same things. You're just not drinking. And they go, it's not the same thing. It's a completely different thing now.
It is.
Yeah.
So this basically just it is right now. Honestly, it hasn't been hard. Like the weekends haven't been hard. I have not actually, when I was in Hawaii, I just got back from Hawaii. I was on the beach one day and I was like, right now it's the first time I've craved a beer. And it's because it's a hot day. You're on the beach. You want to relax, you know, was able to get through.
You had JJ.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sitting there going, yeah, that would be really
good. I mean, I want to unpack it from a, again, your Monday morning quarterbacking, but what would you tell your younger self right now? I mean, you're still in the battle, Austin. I mean, you're still fighting the fight and extremely proud of you for it. But what would you tell your younger self? I mean, at any point along the way, I mean, I think back to ninth grade and I got my youngest man is in ninth grade next year.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to see him doing these type of things, huh?
Yes.
Dude, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom says we did do some damage, I mean, to her mental state for a long time. Because it's like, I see my 17-year-old brother, and I'm like, this is why I look up to him so much, because he doesn't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He does really well in school and really well in sports, or at least
is it because you've been on, hard. Because he's watched you, or you've been honest with him?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. He nice. Definitely watched us always get in trouble from however old, you know, whenever he started comprehending what things were going on. And then
the whole time he's known it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then every time he asks questions, I'm like, just don't, you're going to make your life harder. Your life is always going to be difficult, but it's only going to get harder if you choose to make it harder.
Yeah.
Doing substance at a young age and abusing it is going to make your life harder.
Yeah.
If you want the easiest, most simple life possible, keep it straight, keep your eyes on the prize and work really hard. And by the time you're 27, you're going to be in the six-figure range. That's if you set your mind to it. But if all you want to do is have fun, that's not how life works. Yeah. The fun comes later after the hard work.
Yep. Exactly.
And so I'm kind of learning that hard lesson now. I'm 27 years old, still living in the same house I lived in when I was 10. And, you know, I'm very grateful for my stepdad. You know, he's taking care of me even after him and my mom got divorced. He chose to take me in after I moved back, and he still takes care of me. Says I can stay as long as I want, charges me bare minimum rent, and It's great. I don't hate living there, but it's the sense of I should be further in my life.
That won't change.
Yeah.
It's not going to ever change.
But it goes back to what you were talking about.
In perspective, but.
Get obsessed on improving you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, you said it. When you get obsessed and you have some talent, watch out.
Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, I look at it.
Formula.
I mean, I look at your superpowers, man, because you've got so many. And I look at those superpowers and those strengths that you have, and I go, okay, 27, behind what?
Yeah.
What are you behind? You know, if you do the Instagram, if you do the Facebook, if you do the sunshine and rainbows, you know, 20,000 feet version of something, it feels like you're behind. You're behind in what? Like one job that leads to, you know what I mean? It's not. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to be in that and be fighting for it and comparing. Comparing yourself is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
It's the thief of being present. It's the thief of gratitude.
Yeah.
It's what steals all those wonderful things. And I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like you're thinking more of the volume of slips along the way that you went through. And, you know,
I think you're wealthy.
That takes place over the course of someone's life. Mm-hmm. And goes even further than it did for someone like you, then you're talking about being behind.
Well,
you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. And
he's got some experience too.
Yes.
I'm saying it's like, you've got some life experience that other people haven't received yet. And you can pray they don't.
Right.
But you've got it.
Yeah.
So what happens is it's like, now you can go to ninja camp.
Yes, I mean? Exactly.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Well, Sign me up. And I think we talked about this on the last podcast, but there's a book called The Upside of Fear by Weldon Long.
Great book.
It is an amazing book where this guy put a shotgun to a guy's head at a restaurant, drunk on whiskey and cocaine, went to prison and did a 180. He owns a HVAC business in Colorado Springs, house in Maui, and an inspirational speaker.
That's awesome.
And he went to prison.
Wait, what was his name?
Weldon Long.
He might've been at the what is it called? It was like the motivational speaker conference in Salt Lake City.
That's what he does. April. Yes.
Yeah. I think I heard his story in person.
Yes. Get the book.
It's
great.
The book is amazing. I'm not a reader. And that was a book that I picked up and read in 2 days.
Yes.
It's that
Upside
good.
Of Fear.
Upside of Fear. That's what it's called.
Yep.
Okay.
You'll love it.
You told me about Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
I read that like a month later.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah, I loved it. It got my brain brainstorming on business ideas.
Yes.
Which personal training was one of them. But now I actually have one that's in the making, pretty much done, ready to market. I'm starting a pressure washing business.
Nice.
From scratch. Been doing nothing but studying it, learning the equipment, how to use it, proper techniques, chemical mixes, et cetera. Now I got my flyers. Now all I need to do is go to doors.
Yeah.
Starting out, right? Because I don't have the funds to throw ads on the internet or nothing like that.
So where are you going to start? What's the focus? Is it going to be vehicles, homes? What are you going to do?
It's going to be homes. Okay. And all my services are pretty much anything on the outside of a home, but I'll start basic with driveways.
Right? Okay. Feedback, filtration system matters. That's all.
Yes.
So if you're going to do homes, make sure you got that filter set up that may, you know, no spots.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you read that book.
Yeah, it started making me brainstorm as soon as because I was on
you
the way.
You start at my house.
Yeah.
Let me know. Right now it's 50% off. You get the lowest price.
I love it. He's a salesman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get a hold of Austin to have your home pressure wash this spring.
Exactly.
Home, driveway, whatever.
Yes.
He's cleaning. He's got it.
That's just it. I don't think I do very well working for other people. I thought that was the easy way. And ultimately, I think working for yourself, it's hard, but it's the easier way to, I mean, for myself, a better life.
For you. Yeah.
But I think my comparison is not compare myself to apples to oranges. I think I'm comparing myself to the potential I see in my head.
Oh yeah.
And that I'm not to that full potential, and I'm better than I was, but not where I think I should be at this moment.
Got it.
But I mean,
and that's why I say it won't change. You've got that bug. Yeah. It won't, it's always going to be, you know,
going up.
It's, you know, though having those goals so clearly defined and literally written down, so you can't play those mind games.
Yeah.
Cause what'll happen is those mind games will happen. You'll just keep moving the goalpost.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting further and further away. till you turn around and look. And it's like, do you know what you've accomplished in the last 2 years?
Do I know what I accomplished in the last 2 years? Sobriety from weed. I know that.
Has been anything that's really more important than getting your mind right?
Yeah.
No.
You know, what has that done for your relationships?
All of them immensely better.
Yeah.
The focus, even just three months of no alcohol.
Yeah.
Is like every weekend you drink, you have to spend the next 2 days recovering and recuperating. You don't realize that. It's like, oh, I'm not hungover, but your brain cells are all messed up.
Everything
is all messed up. And I've been so mentally focused. It's like, I don't crave these drinks. I think it'll get harder as the summer days come, but remember where you started.
Yeah.
And remember where you started and keep that ball rolling. It's because I am doing it.
Sparkling water, bro.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You say that now. I'm just telling you.
That's amazing.
I thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
And now it's like the greatest thing on the planet.
No way. My girlfriend's grandmother said the same thing. And I tried it. I was like, this is still gross. This is not good.
Just keep doing it.
No, oh, no. Yeah.
Replace it.
It's called O'Doul's.
Yeah, whatever. O'Doul's. So, again, proud of you.
Yes, very
and
proud.
I really want to focus on, you know, and also grateful that you have the courage to just be so transparent and open and honest.
Yes.
Because it doesn't hold anything over on you. I mean, that's a part of who you are, or what, that's a part of why you are the person that you are.
Yeah. Honest.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's what makes it so awesome.
Yeah.
But where are you going? Where, you know, we talk about a pressure washer business. Where are you going? Where do you see yourself going? What are you doing? Who are you going to mold yourself into
in 5 years?
In 5 years, a man who can take care of himself and a family eventually.
Love that.
That's what I want.
In five years.
I do not want to get married until I can take care of myself. When I can take care of myself and I feel that sense of success where I'm like, I'm stable. I feel financially free, which is what I want. That's when I feel like I'll be ready to get married. And some people may disagree with that, but that's the way I want to go about it. I want to be able to take care of myself so I can take care of my partner when they need it the most. And my partner doesn't need it, but I would love to be able to when she needs it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs to pick me up sometimes in their life, yeah. I believe. And when we get married, then I would love to have kids and be able to take care
of. Is that in 5 years?
I don't want to put a timeline on that.
I'm putting you on the
could
spot.
Could be 2 years.
Yeah. No, we're going to set the 5 years. I don't want kids in the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, awesome. You're in your prime right now. I mean, 27 and focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
27 and focused is cool.
Yeah.
Clear.
Yeah. With
clear. Clarity.
Yes. Yeah.
With my girlfriend, so we had the almost breakup in September, and we ended up actually breaking up for a week after our Canada trip in December 23. But during that week, I still didn't smoke weed. I still chose to stick to it. It's just like, with or without her, I don't care if I'm sad. You know, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to cope with my emotions and learn how to control them. Because that was also a big reason that it wasn't working out at that time. And why it was so hard at the start was she didn't know how to cope with a person who's so open like I am. Cause I talk open about book. Everything. Yeah, yep. I'm an open book, and she's not necessarily in that sense. And she's not used to having a partner. And so we got back together, and ever since that, it's just been nothing but building blocks, just growing together and just encouraging. She's encouraged me so much to just do this. She wants me to leave my job too, cause they're not taking the best care of us as employees. Like I said, they're great people. Just, I don't think that's a career for me.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll leave it at. And so it just inspires me, and she inspires me. And this focus I have is inspiring me to build my own legacy.
Yeah. If not now, then when?
Now.
Yeah.
It's
gotta be now. It can't wait no more. I've pushed all these business ideas off and off and off.
Yeah.
Trying. No, it's doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's no
big difference.
I have to do it now.
Yeah. No, I love it.
But with the whole alcohol thing, what's 1 year?
Yeah.
It's still going to be here when I'm done. And who knows if I'm ever going to want to drink again. Like Tom Holland, you guys hear his sobriety story. He was drinking a lot. And in his first month, he was only going to go a month sober. And in that first month, he's like, wow, life is already better. This is crazy. So he's like, I'll go 2 months and then 3 months. And then he got to a year and never drinking again. And it's just because his life is just continuously grew.
Yeah.
And every time you decide to pick up a substance or do something, it takes you back a notch. You'll be up a notch. You do a substance, it's going to take you back two steps. You know, the saying, one step back, two steps forward, or is it two steps back, one step forward?
One step forward, two steps back.
Well, this is going to be one step forward, three steps back every time you decide to relapse or
not try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that'll be eliminated.
Dude, I got.
You're gonna go.
I mean, I've got
one year without using that word.
Yeah, yeah. Let's add that to it. Austin, we're adding eliminating the T word.
Yes.
From for the next year.
Yes.
Right. You're gonna graduate. It's like Mahoney. You know, started with 75 hard and got done with 75 hard and was like, yeah, I just don't. Not ready to do that again. And it's been like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Or maybe for longer. I mean, I don't even remember the last time he did. It's been that long.
Wow.
And I don't know. And it's not a thing of, for him, it has nothing to do with having a drink or not having a drink. It has everything to do with what he's doing with his life.
Yeah.
And he's not willing to, you know, exchange that right now.
I feel like a lot of people believe when they do 75 hard once, they have to do it again. And I don't believe that's true. It shows you that you can be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he literally says in the book, it's just to say, if you're going to say you're going to do something, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my example, I said I was going to do 75 hard. So I did it first try too. There was no excuses.
First time doing it. Yeah.
Yep.
But they feel like they got to do that. It's, how about set standards for yourself after that challenge, after you do something like that, where you push your limits and stay disciplined, set your own standards. My standard is this year, no drinking for the rest of my life, no smoking weed, keep building, keep growing, keep learning, stay disciplined.
Keep doing. That's all.
Keep on keeping on.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.